Hello, friend. Welcome back to Adrenaline Realms Thriller Channel. My name is Neil Helligers. I am your host. It is good to see you. I mean, I should say, I can't actually see you. I know when we get into these kind of like government spy thriller type things, it's very easy to start believing stuff like that. I can't see you, but I know you're there. And it's because, I mean, you just hit play. And if you didn't hit play, I wouldn't be talking right now. Anyway, so on the last episode of Overleaper, in what I like to call the planes, trains, and shot down helicopter section of our tale, we have both Audreys in transit. One is being chased by the CIA. The other one's pretending to be a flight attendant to sneak onto Air Force Two. I mean, this was like a sitcom or something like that. These kinds of hijinks would play completely differently. But no, like we said, this is a thriller. And one of the reasons we know it's a thriller is that things are going off left and right. The first thing going off is this word from our sponsor.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
And the second thing, I mean, that was just the setup to segue suddenly to a word from our sponsor. I mean, there are things, there's obviously a lot of bombs going off, maybe more. So let's get back to the action to find out, as the space between our two Audreys is starting to narrow, so I'm not going to hold you up any longer. I'm your host, Neil Helligers, and this is Overleaper Episode 5.
Operation Overleaper, approaching Dulles International Airport. Leap Day 2.
The second flight from Heathrow to DC is no better than the first.
Welcome to Dulles International Airport. Inbound passengers from Heathrow Airport, you'll find your luggage at Carousel 3.
When we arrive, I can feel the eyes of the spy sent to follow me as he walks behind me. Now I wait for the drop. I run a hand through my hair. Another clump comes out. The overleap dosed me with more radiation than anticipated. Predictably, the CIA agent waits on the far end of the baggage carousel. His casual tying of a shoe fools no one.
Yeah, I see her. Baggage claim, 3.
A nondescript brunette sidles up next to me. Over her shoulder, a black messenger bag. She sets it on the conveyor belt while she struggles with the larger suitcase, then she disappears. Right on time. I let the messenger bag go around the carousel twice before lifting it off, no one the wiser. No need to check the contents of the bag. I know exactly what is inside.
Staff Sergeant Beach?
Two uniformed men approach, both naval officers. This wasn't part of the plan.
I'm Captain Hal Pickett. This is Captain Jalen Putasi. We're representatives of Admiral Madeline Myers. Can we have a minute of your time?
Of course. What can I do for you?
This way, ma'am.
I follow them outside to a black Lincoln waiting at the arrivals curb.
After you. Can I presume you know of Admiral Myers?
Of course. Joint Chiefs of Staff, advisor to the President.
The Admiral informed us that you have some information about the Sovietskian door discovered on Safed Kurz Mountain. We're here to debrief you.
I wish I could help.
Oh?
My information is for the President.
We'll ensure he receives your report at tomorrow's intelligence briefing. As you know, Admiral Myers will deliver your account herself.
I understand, but I can't help you. I mean, it has to be direct. From me.
You know, that's not what I wanted to hear. That's actually very disappointing.
We would have thought you, of all people, would choose to help your country.
Put me in front of the president.
And if we can't get that meeting?
Or won't.
You're connected. I'm sure you can figure something out.
On board Air Force Two. approaching Joint Base Andrews.
Honey!
Oh, fuck.
Language, dear.
That was maybe 3 hours of uncomfortable sleep. An older flight attendant stands over me. Her badge says Mabel, which seems about perfect.
We're coming into Joint Base Andrews. You're meant to be at the end of the plane?
Yes, of course. I stand and weave toward aft, unsure of what I'm supposed to be doing. At least after 15 hours on this clunker, I've gotten to know her pretty well.
New girl, get that rear on back to press. Make sure everyone with a press badge gets some of this alcohol. But not too much. We want glowing write-ups tomorrow, not hangovers.
Tray in hand, I walk on.
And don't you dare spill a drop.
The press is a rowdy bunch. They pound away at the keyboards, at their laptops, laughing. I catch a snippet of conversation between a redhead and a man with black-rimmed glasses.
Got the morning off tomorrow. Then it's the Medal of Honor ceremony.
I hadn't caught up on the details of my itinerary.
Oh, some army guy got blown up on the Pakistani border a couple years back. It's one you can miss if you like.
Thanks. Well, since we have the morning free, what are your plans? You're at the Plaza on Vermont, right?
London. I told you. We have to keep it professional this trip.
London gestures to me, and I pour her another. The gin is making her lips loose, and I can't help but overhear.
I can slip by, grab brunch. Just the two of us, kill some time before the ceremony.
Oh, shit. These two are having a fling.
At least consider it. What do you say, Mr. Masakela?
Well, maybe if you stop by early.
Done.
Passengers and flight crew, please be seated, seatbelts fastened.
I head back to my assigned seat, strapping in, and soon we're wheels down at Joint Base Andrews, right outside the Capitol Beltway Inner Loop in D.C. The Vice President's motorcade is waiting, two armored Cadillacs. One he'll actually ride in, the other a lookalike to draw bullets in the unlikely event of an attack. Makes me think of me and the overleaper Audrey. Which one of us is the spare? It's gotta be her, right? Yeah. The Secret Service disembarks first, followed by the Veep himself. We've been tasked with cleaning the plane. But once Gil goes to check on the kitchen, I make my move. Down the air stair, across the tarmac, and towards the first building I see. No one stops me. I pull open the door to a building marked Authorized Personnel Only.
Hey.
I spin to see a captain, possibly one of the co-pilots.
You looking for the changing room?
Sure am.
Take the first right.
Thank you. Finally alone. How much time do I have before the crew is done? I've got to break into one of these lockers for some street clothes. A quick search of the floor gives me what I need. A bobby pin and a wire. I turn towards one of the locks. And I'm in. Ah, damn it. I grab the clothes on top. A floral shirt and jeans, and bolt for the exit. Stolen clothes tucked under my arm, I set off in a jog towards the north gate. I've got an idea on how to proceed, but I like that less than my outfit. And of course, there's only one person who I can trust and who will believe me without question. And I'm going to need his help if I'm going to stop my doppelganger. Peter, my ex-husband.
Operation Overleaper, Leap Day 3. Army Barracks in Washington, D.C.
I wake to a line of bloody drool on my barracks pillow. Loose hair strands cling to the drool. Some scalp at the roots. Oh, shit. It's not supposed to be this bad till day 5.
Oh,
I have no other option but to wake and get on with it. This is a grave I dug for myself. This will be my last day, anyway.
Staff Sergeant Beach, you decent?
I feel the bear patches on my head. Can't let the captain see me like this. Give me a minute. I tie my hair up in a high ponytail, throw on my Desert Digital camouflage. The correct choice to greet the president is a dress uniform, but I won't roll up fancy. Today's business demands a combat outfit. Before opening the door, I snatch up the messenger bag. Can't forget this.
What the f? You look like shit, Beach, and I don't mind saying so. What'd you do? Sleep on the floor?
Nah, just jet lag.
Well, you got your audience with the president, so this intel better be good.
Ooh, it's the biggest news on the planet. By the end of today, it'll be all anyone will be talking about. Nothing can bring Lydia back to life, but this is the next best thing. My final act of revenge.
There's a car waiting. Follow me and try to keep up.
Keep up, he says. Hilarious.
Get in, Beach. We're late, Paxton. Put the hammer down.
We weave into traffic, the driver taking the shoulder in a bid to create his own lane. The World War II memorial flies by on the left. Washington Monument on the right. I can't focus on either. I can only remember as I close my eyes. It's just a flash, a piece of a memory, but not mine.
You okay there, Staff Sergeant Beach? Heat getting to you?
And worse, I think I recognize the lieutenant. Bald head, face like a catcher's mitt. Where do I know him from? I'm losing it. How do I even know it was near Anar Dara? I've never been stationed there. Never been within 50 miles of the place. Hold it together, Beach. Not long now. I only need to keep my sanity another hour.
Staff Sergeant Beach?
A young man is bent down to my window, standing at the curb. We've parked at the appointment gate at the east wing of the White House. I hadn't even noticed. How long had I been sitting there, zombied out?
We've arrived, ma'am.
I step out, eyeing the White House's youthful greeter up and down.
This is the president's personal assistant, Mr. Jacobs. Not too much gets done around here without his hand in it.
Pleased to meet you, Miss Beach. If you'll come on, we're running behind a bit.
Go on. This is as far as I take you. Mr. Jacobs will get you through to your meeting. And Beach, best of luck.
Thanks. Then, a twinge of guilt. Another guy caught up in the mess I'm about to make. I shake off the feeling.
Ms. Beach, are you okay? If you're sick, we've got an infirmary on site.
No, just a little car sick. That guy got us here in record time.
Okay. You let me know. First, we'll go through security, right through this entrance, please.
A Secret Service member opens the outer door. Eyes on me just as much as everywhere else.
Through the metal detector, please. Don't want to keep the president waiting.
Wouldn't dream of it.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
I'm here. I'm finally doing this.
Bag on the belt, then step through here.
I comply. Messenger bag on the conveyor. They won't see anything in the X-ray. All they'll see out of the ordinary is a tight roll of 20s, a change of underwear, a metal flask, and a pack of Gulvas cigarettes. Cash can always come in handy, and the underwear is to throw them off. As for the other two, well, serious inspection of either would give me away. The cigarettes won't light, and the flask will appear empty, even though it's unusually heavy. But I'm betting they won't go that far.
Mind if I search this?
Go for it. The Suviskins told me as little as they could about the technology involved, but I'd managed to glean bits here and there. Both halves create a weapon whose materials are undetectable in this dimension.
This will kill you.
Yeah. The agent holds up the pack of Gulvas. He shakes his head, then puts the cigarettes back in the bag.
No smoking on the premises. You're both good to go. Say hi to Porters for me.
You got it.
Jacobs takes me through the east wing to the center hall, which is even grander than the earlier hallway. Crimson rugs edged in gold drape the floors. Staffers dart down the halls. All I can think about is the weapon in the messenger bag. I'd trained for months on a similar model, cleaned it, assembled it, shot it, slept with it under my pillow, and eaten with it next to my plate.
Through here, Miss Beach. This is the president's outer office. The Oval Office is right through there. He's just finishing a morning briefing with the Joint Chiefs. When he's ready, he'll send you in.
Thank you.
Not a problem.
I sit in one of the leather chairs against the wall and wait. But all I hear is the blood pumping in my neck, and all I see is red. I try to focus on the task at hand, the play, envisioning success step by step, the quick assembly, the fatal shot.
Can I get you anything while you wait?
A woman at one of the two desks, a receptionist. Harmless. No, thank you.
Well, there are magazines on the table, and the restroom is in the hall, second door on the left.
Thanks. I pick up the nearest magazine just to do something. Newsweek, a year old. They must have kept it around because the president graced the cover, smiling stupidly. I look at the date, May, 12 months ago, the month after my Lydia died. I'm not supposed to read this. The ban on consuming media from this dimension is one of the rules. It could upset the balance, the Saviskin said. Am I going to take their word for it? The magazine falls open in my lap and I flip through. The war in Pakistan had just been heating up this time last year, so maybe there's some trace of Lydia in the stories. Something to touch, to hang on to. But all I find are border conflicts and political theater. A data breach scandal. Nothing of any importance. Nothing about Task Force Orange parachuting in to capture mobile assets of nuclear warheads. Nothing about the unsanctioned war that took my daughter. Instead, there's a whole spread about the singer Adriana Konoshuda. Now, I've never even heard of her. I pick up a different magazine. Time. 3 months old. Nothing about the war. Mother Jones, the National Review, the Weekly Standard. These are all up to date. And they're all missing the biggest news story in decades. That makes no fucking sense.
Excuse me, what is this?
Miss, are you okay? Can I get you anything?
Oh.
I stand. Well, nearly fall. The dimension didn't split when they said it did. Have the Soviskins lied to me? Have they made a mistake? Sent me on the wrong jump? Impossible. They knew what they were doing. I grab my messenger bag. This is all wrong. And I'm gonna throw up or I'm gonna pass out. The Soviskins told me not to consume any media, not because it would upset any kind of balance, but because they didn't want me to learn the truth.
Good morning. This is the White House.
I won't be back.
I'm sorry.
I'm done with all this.
May I take a message?
Everything's changed now that I suspect the truth. That this dimension really split months before the Soviskins had claimed.
Your meeting is about to start.
And if it did, that means Lydia is still alive. And I'm gonna find her. I divert from the mission. Hell, screw the mission. Revenge is meaningless if it comes at the cost of seeing Lydia alive one last time before the radiation sickness kills me.
Can I help you?
Just gotta grab a quick cigarette. What's the policy on lighting up in here?
Outside. And you'll need to pass through security again on re-entry.
No worries there. I'm not coming back.
So it's a close call between two different things, as I understand it. And this is just, maybe this is just me. And, you know, we all deal with obstacles in our life. But to me, I don't know which is actually worse. Is it imminent death from radiation sickness, from doing a dimensional leap of some kind? Or is it being lied to by your boss? Although I suppose in this case, it is the literal insult attached to the initial injury, right? And especially right before you have to do a big presentation, debriefing with the president. I mean, that would throw off my game, let me tell you. So there is a lot going on with Overleaper right now, and we're going to get to all of it. But next time, I actually have something very special for you. It is a behind-the-scenes interview with our writer, Sam Bush, and the show's producer, Diana Foe. So once again, I am your host, Neil Heligers. This is Adrenaline, and I will not see you next time, but I will know you are there. Anyway, bye.
You're listening to Adrenaline Overleaper. Created and produced by Realm, your portal to another world. Listen away.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.
Overleaper is a Realm original production, created and written by Sam Bush, produced by Diana M. Foe, Fred Greenhalge, and Haley Wagreich. Additional story production by Nicole Otto and Marco Palmieri. Directed by Fred Greenhalge. Executive produced by Molly Barton, Julian Yap, and Marcy Wiseman. Starring Thora Birch, Yolise Arroyo, Jordan Batiste, Peter Burkrot, Janet Boris, Gilbert Glenn Brown, Hector Luis Bustamante, Chris Cleveland, Ryan Coyle, Stephanie Diaz, Richard Doyle, Kate Elefante, Mark Engelhart, Marisilda Garcia, Anthony Grant, John Capellos, Inte Kim, Chuck Karuklis, Richard McMonagall, Alex Ruiz, Lorenzo Villanueva, Cecily Williams, and Michael Wallner. Sound design and mixing by Rory O'Shea. Original score and composition by Jeroen Kromen. Production manager, Alexis Latshaw. Production coordinator, Angela Yee. Casting by Sunday Bowling and Meg Mormon. Executive in charge for Realm, Mary Osadolahi. Adrenaline is produced by Mary Osadolahi and Haley Wagreich. Associate produced by Nicole Kreuter and Alexis Latshaw. Executive produced by Molly Barton, Julian Yap, and Marcy Wiseman. Hosted by Neil Heligers. Audio editing by Angela Yee. Original theme by Marcus Bagala. Cover art by Kendall Thomas. Find more shows like Adrenaline by following Realm on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or at realm.fm.